Indeed, there is something about the name of Jesus. Well, in case you haven't figured it out, Mike and Clyde are both not here today. So you get the third string. It's like going to the pro baseball game and seeing the AAA people on the field. I don't understand that. But no, Pastor Mike is on a deserved vacation to watch his daughter and dance ministry. Pastor Clyde was supposed to be there as well, but when things happen with Butch, he is at UVA with Butch and Betty down there today. So we want to, our prayers go out that in that direction, and certainly. But it is always great that when they say, Jeffrey, would you mind? Would you mind? I'm glad church doesn't have to stop because the two main ones aren't here. And certainly I don't mind. Today, what I ask you every single time that you come before here, and every time that I come to church, I ask myself, did you come to church expecting something today? Because if you don't come expecting, God can't deal with you. God can't give you anything. So today I pray that your hearts begin to open up as you expect him to move and to work in your life. Here's the question of the day. As you look at the sermon title, maintain the main thing. What is the main thing in your life right now? Today, as we look at that question, we're going to dissect some things that we need to do in our life to keep the main thing the main thing. And we're going to answer that question. I'm like, what is the main thing he's talking about? We're going to get there. Well, guess what? The main thing in your life right now, if I were to ask you that question, how would you answer it? Maybe you were sitting here saying, the main thing in my life today are my wife and my kids and my family. Hey, you've got a great argument. That is a great answer. And let me tell you, I want you to know that my wife and my kids are a main part of my life. Did you get that? A main part of my life. But let me tell you, if you answer your wife and your kids and your family are the main thing, I would argue that's not the right answer. Maybe today you're sitting there and you say, well, Jeffrey, my job is the main thing in my life. You know, I have to provide for my family. And I certainly agree. I have to work as well. And the job is important to our lives and to our families. And that is a main thing in our life. But guess what, guys? It's not the answer. Maybe some of my teenage guys and girls, you see them scattered out through here, say, the main thing in my life right now is that boyfriend or that girlfriend. And don't argue, the older ones at one time, those boys and girls were the main thing of our minds. But that shouldn't be the most important thing. Your health, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, money, job, kids, wife, husband, family, all great answers. But with the word of God, I would argue that the main thing in your life as a Christian should be Jesus Christ. With the word of God, I'm going to argue against your answers. That the main thing in your life should be Jesus Christ. Write this verse down or remember it if you want to. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34 says this. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Friends, that's what it takes to make Jesus the main thing in your life. Now, guess what? Now we have to maintain the main thing. You know what the main thing is? How do we maintain Jesus as number one in our life? Well, I got to thinking, what are some things in our life, our everyday life, that we maintain? Well, I'll give you one. How many of you maintain your homes? Guess what? I just had to put a roof on my house. You know, we paint and we fix and we put roofs on, and we have to, even though the house has been built, we still have to maintain it. And it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes a whole lot of money to maintain that house. Let me ask you about your physical appearance. You know, I got to kind of, you know, I'll tell you my physical appearance. Terry's cooking and Swiss rolls kind of maintain this. okay? But our physical appearance is important to some, all right? It's not as important to me, I guess. But what do we do to maintain our physical appearance? We make up, we hairdo, right? We work out, we run, we stay in fit. We try to do stuff to maintain the physical body. Some people go as far as plastic surgery to maintain a better physical appearance. Let me ask you about your car or your truck, whatever you drive. Do you maintain that? Absolutely. We put gas in it. We jump in it. My wife, she likes to wash and wax it. We change the oil, put new tires on it, check the pressure, windshield wiper fluid, plugs and wires. We do stuff to maintain the vehicles, to maintain the car. But let me ask you the question, what happens when we fail to maintain those things? They begin to break down, right? If you fail to maintain your home, it's going to break down. If you fail to maintain the body, it will break down. If you fail to maintain the car, it's going to break down. Well, friends, I want you to know, as you're driving along in your car, your truck, and you look down on your instrument panel, when something goes wrong, there are little lights to tell you, right? And when those lights flash, that's when you do something. Well, listen, guys, I'm of the believing that you maintain before the breakdown. But there are a lot of people that drive their cars, and when the warning lights go off, that's when they get it fixed. Friends, I'm here to tell you that Christians are doing the same thing with their spiritual life. They're waiting till all goes wrong and then try to fix it. But I'm here to tell you today that if you maintain the main thing, I'm not saying you won't have a breakdown. I'm saying that you'll be able to get through it. Today, I want you to look at your spiritual life just as you would look at the instrument panel at your car. When those lights go off, something's going wrong. You're not doing something right. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, as I have prepared this message, Lord, I know that this message was first intended for me. Before I could tell anyone about it, Father, it was intended for me in my life. God, help me to maintain my relationship with you and in every aspect of that relationship, the things that I need to do. But Father, my prayer this morning is for the Christian who thinks he or she is okay. Everything is okay. Lord, there are warning lights flashing all around and they're not paying attention to them. My prayer this morning is for that one who does not know you, who has taken life for granted, and with one day and in one short time period, it all could be taken away, eternally separated from you. God, I pray that you speak to hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Maintain the main thing. Guys, today, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude. It is right before the book of Revelation, and it's a short book, 25 verses. Now, as I was telling the deacons this morning where I was preaching from, they seen it, they said, Jude, why are you preaching from Jude? You know, that little book is there, but you don't hear much about it. Guys, I want to tell you, if you have never read these 25 verses, you are missing a gem. Out of these 25 verses, I told Jim Hooker, I said, I could probably preach 5 or 6 sermons out of these 25 verses. He said, you going to preach them all today? I said, no, not all today. But guys, Jude deals with some awesome, awesome stuff. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of it in a minute. But did you realize Jude is the half-brother of Jesus? Okay, I want you to know that. 104, Jude is a half-brother of Jesus. So not only did Jude live and grow up with Jesus, but Jude, this is the cool thing, had to accept Jesus as his Savior as well. He couldn't get to heaven because he was Jesus' brother, you know. He had to accept Jesus as Savior as well. Guys, this little book speaks to contending for the faith. And I'm going to give you a couple things. You can look at it in verse number 3. You will see that, contending for the faith. But number 1, I want to read one verse to you how this book opens up. Look at the first verse. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Notice it does not say brother. It says servant. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I believe that should be the line to every believer. That not only we're preserved in Jesus Christ, it doesn't end there. We're called. We're called to do something. Jude opens that book pretty cool. Another thing that Jude talks about in Sodom and Gomorrah, if you look at verse number 7, he says Sodom and Gomorrah was set an example, as an example to the vengeance of God, and sends out a warning to all cities who are like them. In verse number 9, you see, if you read that, Michael, the archangel, and Satan fighting for the body of Moses. Only time in Scripture you will see it is right there. Pretty interesting. That's another sermon. I'm not going to preach it to you today, but that's another sermon. Guys, the rest of this book is spoke to apostates. Do you know what that is? That is someone who chooses to walk away from God. And these 25 verses are some powerful things. Now, like I told you, there's a lot of preaching here. But I want to direct your attention to verses 20 through 25 today as we read that together. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Just think, guys, that's the lead-in to the book of Revelation. There's no doubt in my mind that Jude sits before Revelation for a reason. In your Bible. What an awesome, awesome book. Guys, today, I want you to know, there's some things that we must maintain in our Christian life. And guys, I want to explain myself before I ever get started. You see, there was a complacency in my life. Me as your youth pastor, there was a complacency sitting here. That Jeffrey would show up and do what he's always done. And this past New Year's Eve, I was sitting with a bunch of teenagers, probably 10,000 of them, at Winterfest. And there was a speaker there that kind of struck straight to my heart. And he challenged me to do something different that I've never done before. But do it for Jesus. Don't be the same old Christian that you've always been. And guys, I've taken that and challenged my teenagers with it. Let's not be the same old group that we've always been. Let's do something different, something crazy for Jesus, and make a difference in the world. So that's what's on my heart. And my heart goes out for those people that come to church every Sunday morning just because it's the right thing. I've always done it. I should do it. All wrong reasons to come. You get locked in complacency there. Listen, guys. Today, as we maintain our Christian walk, there are some strict and key areas that we must look at in our very lives that we need to maintain. These areas will show if you're maintaining, if you're good, or if you're in deep trouble and you need to work on them. Get them fixed. Look at verse number 20. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Stop there. That's the first point we want to make. There's seven of them coming to you if you want to write them down. The first point, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Verse number 20, I want you to see that there is a foundation on which is to be built upon. In your Christian life, there's a foundation that you must build on which you should stand, and that you should build your faith upon. And that foundation stands as the very Word of God. Everything you do and everything you say should be based on, built on, the foundation of His Word. Now listen, don't build your faith on what a preacher says. Don't build your faith on what you've heard that was in the Bible. Don't build your faith up on your good works. That's where we're going wrong. Build yourself on what's in the book, in the Bible. Friends, notice one thing about this verse. Is faith continues to build. That verse does not say has built, was built, used to be. It says building. It's a constant project. If I told you I was perfect right now, you should shoot me for lying to you. Or God should strike me dead for lying to you. Guys, my faith is not perfect. I do not stand before you today as the perfect man or the perfect pastor. But I stand before you as someone that is building. But I want to stand beside other people throughout this building who are building their faith on the very Word of God. Today, my challenge is this, is that your faith should be a building project. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Jeffrey? I mean this, that diggers and earth movers, you know, you drive by Liberty University and they're always there. These big heavy equipment. Guys, that should represent our life on how we're plowing through God's Word. We're digging and we're moving and we're searching this book to build our faith. If you've got a question, don't ask the preacher. Find the answer. Dig it. Find it. Build it. Build your faith on the very Word of God. I challenge you, Christians of Clifford Baptist Church and whatever church is here today, that this, you build your faith on this book. Let me ask you one question real quick. When's the last time you opened the book? Some might have said last night. Some might have said this morning. But there are possibly some here that said last week. Last month. You cannot build a faith if you're not in this book. So to friends today, if there's not a constant Bible study in your life every day, listen, every day, the breakdown is coming. Today, if you're not reading your Bible every day, the warning lights should be flashing in your spiritual driver's seat. Because trouble is going to... I'm going to relate this one to the check engine light. It's that serious, guys. It's that serious. You know, there are some lights that come on, some warning signs. If your windshield wiper fluid is low, you can keep on going. But if the check engine light comes on, you better stop and get help pretty quick. Guys, listen. If you're not in a constant Bible study, you better stop and get yourself straight pretty quick. Because this is the equivalent of a check engine light in your car. It's going down and going down fast. Point number one. Maintain faith building through God's Word. Go back to verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now guys, as I began to look at this verse, there are many people. We should seek to talk to the Savior. Okay? But listen guys, there are many people that when they see the word Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, they want to see it. Well, what do you mean, Jeffrey? A lot of people think when you pray in the Holy Spirit or you pray in the Holy Ghost, it means you're raising your hands or you're speaking in tongues or you're dancing in the aisles. Guys, that's not what this is saying. But what this verse is saying is this, is that when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying, relying, depending on God. All right, here's a question to check yourself. When's the last time that you asked God, "What can I do for you?" instead of asking God, "Do this for me." You see the difference? Praying in the Spirit is one who prays seeking direction in God's will. God, what can I do for you? Today, that is my challenge. As you look at your prayer life right now, it's not about your will. It's about His will in your life. Continue to seek God's will through prayer. You and I must be willing to seek and to search our lives to see if we're in God's will. We must be willing to seek and to search our lives through prayer. And we must ask God for direction in that. There are many times in my life that I want to do what Jeffrey wants to do. And that's 100% against what the book tells me to do. Today, how's your prayer life? When's the last time you talked to God? Even acknowledged Him. Today, if you don't have a prayer life, the warning lights should be going off right now. I put this up on the check engine light scale as well. Bible study and prayer are serious things in our lives. Guys, if we as Christians don't study our Bibles, if we don't pray, that is the two mainstays of our religion, of our belief. That keeps us together. Look at verse number 21. Point number two is maintain that praying spirit. Verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now look, a lot of people read that verse and say, "Oh, that's easy. That's easy to do because God's love is everywhere. You know, God loves all people." Listen, I buy into the fact that God loves all people. But God does not love what all people are doing. Okay? God hates sin. That's what my Bible says. So yes, God loves the sinner, but He does not love what the sinner is doing. Guys, I tell my son, Levi, is he over there? Levi, he might have went downstairs. I tell my son all the time, Levi, keep your hands to yourself. You know, there's a lot of things. That kid is just like me. He's like spast. I mean, he's just wide open. He's a boy. But he likes to put his hands where they don't belong. It causes trouble at school. And so every day, Levi, keep your hands to yourself. Now my son has the choice to do one or two things. Keep his hands to himself or reach out and touch somebody. I look at this verse and it says, keep yourself in the love of God. I want you to note that that's not what everybody is doing. You have the choice whether you want to be in the love of God or not. What does that mean? How many of you today want to be in God's love? Raise your hand. Most everybody. Where's it at? Where do we get to get in God's love? Well, I'm about to tell you, it's in His will. I want you to hear me. It's in His will. All of us want God's love, but not all of us are willing to do what God wants us to do in our life. If God said today, sell everything you own and go be a missionary and tell others about Jesus, would you do it? You all raised your hands. But we don't want to do it. Because guess what? Christians, we like our comfort zones. We want to be in our comfort zone, but hope God's love shines on us in our comfort zone. Well, to be 100% honest with you, God's will is usually out of your comfort zone. Christians today, we all want God's love to rain down on us, but not all are willing to step out and go and to be in His very will. You see, the joy of being in God's love is to be, it's the joy of being fully in His will. I'm going to use my pastor for an example, because I know how much he hates his daughter being in Texas. But friends, if his daughter's in Texas 100% in God's will, God's love is there. And even though it cost many miles and many flights to see her, she is fully in God's love. You see, Christians, we want to stand in our comfort zone under the shelter, and we're not getting the full blessing of God's love. Today, will you step out into God's love and let it rain down upon you? But you have to step in His will. Point number three. You have to maintain a walk that is in His will. Look at verse number 21 again. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are to look to Jesus Christ, the second part of that verse, for His mercy. Guys, it's nothing that I have done or that you have done to achieve eternal life, but it's directly off of the mercy of Jesus Christ. Every single day, you should thank God for His mercy. Guys, I want you to know, without the mercy of Jesus, we'd be out in the world. There'd be no use to be sitting in the church this morning. But Jesus loved you enough that He sent His Son. God loved you enough that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for you. And Jesus said, I'll do it. Christian, today, do you realize you're under the mercy of God? Or have you been taking that for granted? You know, I relate this one to like the windshield wiper spray. You know, it's good if we have it, bad if we don't. Because when you don't have it, you wish you had it. God's mercy is the same way. We got it, we take it for granted. But the people that don't got it wish they had it. God's mercy. Point number four. Now, this is the short point. Is this. Maintain the mercy seeking. Every day, look for the mercy that Jesus gave. Verse number 22. Now this is where we get into the good stuff, the challenging stuff. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Guys, what Jude is saying in this verse, there are some people who fell under false teachers, okay? False leaders that crept into the church. And as they crept into the church, they led people into false beliefs. Now, as I say that, I say this, there are people that doubted the very word of God because the teachers led him to that. As I read that verse and say, on verse 22, and it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. There are some people in your life that you come in contact with, they may not believe exactly like you believe. You know, they go to the Methodist church, you go to the Baptist church. But guys, there are some that doubt, that don't know anything, but you can make a difference. There are people that fall under false teaching that if you have the right compassion, you can make a difference. I will tell you, I've been in red-faced arguments before about Jesus Christ. And that to me feels like it's got me nowhere. But there are some, and I can name names right now, that have had disagreements with, but I continue to talk to, and I continue to say good morning, and I continue to shake their hand. And that goes longer or further than one argument. Does that make sense? Jude is saying, on some that don't agree just exactly like you, maybe don't even believe, have compassion. Friends, I believe that the Christian should be full of compassion on other people. But we must do it with God's love. Guys, we must not only look for the mercy that God gives us, but we must be willing to share it. Point number five. You and I, as we live this Christian life, need to show compassion. Two words. Show compassion to everyone. Verse number 23. Here's where the action movie starts, and I'm going to read it. Verse number 23. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I said the action movie because that's what I thought of when I read the verse. I said, man, this would be a cool action movie. You know, save one from the burning fire. And then I got to thinking, I'm supposed to play that part every single day. Do you know those people maybe that you went to school with or that you knew in high school or college? Or maybe even that live in your homes today that you consider hopeless? There's no way they're going to heaven. Have you ever thought that, or am I the only guilty one? There's no way they can make it. There's no way they're going to be saved. It's hopeless for them. Jude challenges the people to reach down just like the action movie and reach and grab them and pull them from the burning fire. Guys, that's my part every single day that I need to play. Be willing to be the vessel that reaches down and pulls the ungodliest person out of the flames, saving their life. Christian, how good is your witness? How good is your testimony? Is it good enough that you would go take it to bat and reach down in the flames to save one person that's headed there? Never write, listen to me, never write someone off from going to heaven. There are people that wrote me off. And look where I stand. There are people that probably wrote you off. And look what you're doing today for God. Never write someone out of God's will. But be willing to do something about it. You reach, you try. You do whatever it takes to try to get that one out of the fire. So that challenge comes with this today, is that you need to be willing, that's the key word, you need to be willing to save or help save others. Last point. Look at verse number 23. The end of it says this: hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Guys, we are to get rid of whatever it is that is fleshly, sinful, worldly, evil in our life. We're to hate it. The things of the world spot and ruin a Christian. Today, we must be willing to rid ourselves of those worldly things and follow Jesus Christ, the things that are godly. In this world, not of this world. That should be the Christian motto. Today, the seventh thing that we need to think about as Christians, are we disliking the evil? A stronger word would be hate. Do we hate evil? Are we okay with it? You know, our TVs say we're okay with it. And I just shake my head. Because they're getting into our kids' brains. The last two verses of this scripture tell you what Jesus Christ can do. Look at those two verses. And we're done. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you with faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Today, those two verses serve as your invitation. To come to the one that is able to keep you from falling. But here's the invitation. It goes something like this. Christian, today, if you're sitting there and say, there's some things that I got to get fixed. Don't keep driving. Don't keep going on in your life day after day after day, stuck in the rut like Jeffrey was. Afraid to fix because maybe you're afraid what it's going to cost. When the warning lights go off in the Christian's life, it's going to cost you something. Are you willing to pay it? So here's your invitation, Christian. This morning, is there something, your prayer life, your Bible study time, you love evil, is there something that's flashing right now that you need to come and get it fixed? Don't wait. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody that has never given their heart and soul to Jesus Christ. Today, your challenge is this, is that Jesus has been sent to the cross to save you of your sins, to pay the price for death for you. And if you're willing to accept that gift of eternal life, Jesus will gladly give it to you. Friends, I want you to know, there are people that are dying and being eternally separated from Jesus Christ every single day. Don't let the next one be you. The warning light should be going off. If you have never, ever, ever accepted Christ as Savior. Today, the invitation is this. Come and get it fixed. Come and get it fixed. Jesus is here, not Jeffrey. Jesus is here. To help you fix the things that are broken in your life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning for all that you do. God, I thank you for each person that is here. And Father, I pray your blessing right now on this moment of invitation. If there's a Christian brother or sister that wants to come and pray and get things right, Father, I pray they will come and bow before you. Get things straight. Lord, I pray if there's one Christian that's complacent or stagnant, not moving forward, they would come. Father, I pray, Lord, for that one person that needs you as Savior before it's too late. God, as we open this altar to invitation, Father, I pray that you meet people here that need to be fixed. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.